to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast on this beautiful Monday morning. Pray that you are having a great and glorious day. You see, it's beautiful not because of whatever the weather looks like. It's beautiful if your sins have been forgiven and Jesus is living in your heart. So we pray that you are doing a good job of taking care of yourself during this holiday season. I was talking with someone not too long ago and said, you know, we live such packed lives, you know, where things are constantly on the move. And then we come to the holiday season and you throw big celebrations and family reunions and a lot of times family events. And then you have shopping and parties and all of that sort of stuff. And if you aren't careful, you can become stressed when a time or during a season that you're supposed to be celebrating the goodness of God. And so I do want to encourage you, make sure that you make room for Jesus, not just in this season, but each and every day. He deserves it. He's worth it. And your life will be the better because of it. So we want to thank you for tuning in today. We are coming up on our church Christmas banquet this coming Sunday night, and I'm excited about the word that God is giving me for this Christmas season. I'm not preaching a rehashed message or anything like that. Something new that God has dropped in my heart, or at least a new presentation of the gospel, and we're looking forward to sharing you know, over the next couple of weeks, what all that God has done or what all that he has laid on my heart. And then if you would be praying for the people of Fiji, that they would be ready to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior while I'm over there. That's coming up here in the not too distant future. And so I want to be like Epaphras and pray fervently, laboring fervently in prayer for the people of Fiji. And so I was telling my boys class on Wednesday nights that I was going to be over there, and they said, like Fiji water? And I was like, exactly like Fiji water. That's where Fiji water comes from. And so if you would be praying, that would be greatly appreciated. If God lays it on your heart to be a part of that trip, to be a part of the harvest of souls and edification of the saints that takes place while I'm over there. Just, you know, if you wanted to make a donation, you can do it online at merrittassembly.com, or you can mail in a donation, just write Fiji on it. And all of that is greatly, greatly appreciated. You know, when I was a boy in Oklahoma, there were a lot of things I never really dreamed about. First of all, I never dreamed that I would meet my wife in Chicago. Second, I never dreamed that we would end up living in Florida. I never dreamed about going on a missions trip to Haiti, and never dreamed of going on a missions trip to Guatemala. And I most certainly never dreamed of going on a missions trip to Fiji. So, when the Bible talks about he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think or imagine, I am living proof of that. God is certainly a God who opens doors that no man could open on their own. So we want to take you back today to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We do want to say thank you to our three corporate assistants that help us with the Refresh Radio program. I do not have my paper with me today, so I'm just going to mention all three of them, and that is Creative AC Solutions with Bill Andryk. We also have Jits Concrete If you need help with your block or concrete work, and then we've got Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. And I've utilized all three of these businesses, all three of them this year. And they're still doing great work. They treat people fairly. And so I encourage you to give them a call. They will be a blessing to you. So we're in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We haven't gotten very far through this. We're discussing the will of God. And this is one of those places where we're getting ready to get to a verse where it point blank says, this is the will of God for you. And I will tell you this, that if you do not have that clear cut, this is the will of God, then there is another very simple way to identify whether or not something is the will of God. And that is if it contradicts the Word of God. If it contradicts the Word of God, it is not the will of God. And a lot of people through the years have been somewhat flustered with me because we would be discussing something and they would say, well, this is the will of God. This is God's will for me. And I would say, no, it's not. And they would say, who are you to be able to say that this is not God's will for me? And I would say, because it violates the Word of God, and God is never going to cause you to do something. He's never going to plot a course for you to contradict His Word, because His Word for us is life. It's quick, it's powerful, it's eternal. And He is looking for us to come into obedience with His Word, to keep His commandments. That is the will of God. And so, if you don't have a this is the will of God, then that's one of the things that you can identify. So let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll recap some of the things we talked about on last week's program. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. That's where we ended on Friday. That when they speak evil, or speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So let's go back up to verse number 12. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. So the word blasphemy quite simply means this, to speak evil against. And the reason that I bring that up is because it says that we are supposed to conduct ourselves in the presence of Gentiles. And it doesn't say if they will speak evil against you or speak against you as evildoers. In other words, because they don't understand what is going on, they are going to speak out, they're going to use their mouth, and they are going to label you as practitioners of evil. And I will tell you that in this day and time, with social media, a lot of people are emboldened to speak out against things, and quite honestly, they don't understand. And you know, the only thing that makes a matter worse when you don't understand something is to insist that you do understand, and in actuality, you are just making the problem worse. So It was very easy in Old Testament times, and it's even easier now to have our lips do a whole lot of damage and speaking from an uninformed platform than what we should. You know, James talks about taming the tongue, and he says it's impossible for man to do. That doesn't mean that it's impossible. It means that it takes God to be able to do it. So as our society moves further and further away from God, we can see that the natural tendency is going to be for less verbal restraint, less godly speech, less loving and compassionate communication, and that there's going to be a whole lot of blasting people as evildoers. And so we see in our current political climate and a lot of things that if there's somebody who has a different perspective, that we tend to vilify them instead of try and understand them. Someone said that a lot of times we speak to reply rather than, or we listen to reply rather than listening to understand. So Peter writes to the church and he says, when they speak against you, not if they speak against you, but when they speak against you, they may by your good works, which they observe God in the day of visitation. I think I mentioned there was a second thing, and that is that the things that come out of our mouth are indicative of the things that are going on inside of our heart. So there are two things that can cause lips to be operated in a less than holy and less than God-pleasing manner. One is when you don't understand something, and two, when you have a spiritual heart defect going on, and you begin to speak out of the things that are in abundance in your life. So I want believers to have a lot of the word down in their heart, not just in their head, but down in their heart. I want compassion to fill up. I want us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want us to be operating with a lot of wisdom, because we've filled our heart with wisdom. Our heart is inclined to wisdom, and therefore when we open up our mouth, wisdom comes out of our mouth. So we don't want to be guilty of what society is doing that is not glorifying God. We want to be standing out as an alternative, as a beacon to say, look, God's called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light, and he has positioned us here so that you can see that marvelous light. He says, so when people are seeing or speaking against you as evildoers, you don't get into a debate with them, but instead you put on a good works display. Not for show. You're not here to put on a performance. You are here to live out the good news of Jesus Christ. That is what we are here for. You know, a lot of people, I've seen bumper stickers that says, I love God, I just hate his kids. You know, that's not the right way to approach it. We need to approach it in a way that says, you know what? I'm not going to give you ammunition to support your ungodly position. I'm not going to give you evidence. I'm not going to enable you and empower you to continue to label evil that which God has redeemed. I think that treads very closely to a dangerous, dangerous place. You know, I know that you mess with my wife, you mess with my kids, you mess with the church, you mess with my pastor, and all of a sudden you see a different side of me because I don't take kindly to any of those things. And so here we need to say, you know what? I'm going to do these good works when you're not watching. I'm going to do them when you're watching, because I want you to see the difference. I want you to see the difference. You know, Thomas gets a pretty bad rap because he said, look, unless I see, unless I put my fingers into, I'm not going to believe that Jesus has raised from the dead. But the truth of the matter was, all of the disciples had doubted. Thomas was the one that said, look, I'm not going to believe just because somebody says something to me. I know what I saw. I saw him crucified. I saw him die. And unless I see the person that that I witnessed die alive, I'm not going to believe it. And so he comes to the place where he says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, you have believed because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen. I've never seen Jesus, but I've seen his work. I've never had a visual encounter with him, never heard his audible voice, but I have seen what a miracle he has done in people's bodies. I've seen him answer prayer. I've had the Holy Spirit drop spiritual truth into my heart. I don't have to visually confirm anything to reinforce my faith. I know that that is what it is. And so I get to live that out on a regular basis in front of doubters, in front of condemners, in front of blasphemers. I get to live it out in such a way that they notice a distinct difference between those who are living in darkness and those who are children of the light. So, if you're like I am, you might be a pretty verbal guy. I deal with words. And so a lot of times whenever we have a communication issue, then the first thing that I do is I say, wow, I need to really work on that because I'm supposed to be a communications professional. And I evidently missed something along the way. You know, I didn't communicate something as well as it needed to be. So I'm not here to debate. You know, a lot of people want to debate things. I'm not here for that. What I am is I'm here to demonstrate. And so when you go back up, it says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I, we need to be putting on display the distinct differences between unbelievers and believers so that they too can become believers. Okay? And it says that they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay? Jesus even said, I want people to see your good works so that they will glorify the Father. A lot of times people want to be seen for doing the good works for them, for their own sake, for their own notoriety, for their own fame. But not so with us. We are just the redeemed of the Lord. And we're looking for more people to be the redeemed of the Lord. That's what we're here for. So he says, do your good works. How do you do that? So in verse number 13, you have to realize that when Peter is writing this letter, he is writing it in a time when the Roman Empire is in place and they are extremely hostile to Christians. Extremely hostile. It was not a Christ-friendly environment. And so he says this, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And so we talk about that. You can go back and you can look, and there's a challenging passage of scripture in the book of Romans where it talks about dealing with authorities. So it's in Romans chapter 13, verse number 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, there are some ungodly authorities that use that verse to exploit people and to get them into subservience. Okay? Submission is never something that can be forced by another person. Submission is something that is applied because of the attitude we have towards God. And if you've heard this program before, you've talked about the four levels of relationship, that God is the ultimate and he is never wrong. So what he wants is always right. And as long as all four of these levels of authority stay in alignment, man, things are going to go phenomenal. But there are people in authority over us, and we want them to be subject to God. We want them to be walking in obedience to God, but we live in a fallen world. We live in a time when even good people make bad decisions at times, and sometimes they get out of alignment. They get out of the will of God, and then they, even though they are positioned in rebellion to God, they demand obedience to their decrees. And I want you to know that when they get out of the will of God, it is one of those positions that you and I, as the third rung on the ladder, and that is us, that we say, you know, I'm going to have to honor you by saying, I'm going to stay under God's authority here. So what the Bible is saying is you don't endorse the rebellion. You do not enable those who are in rebellion. You don't disrespect them, but you speak to them with reverence, but you invite them back into the will of God. And then there's those who are subordinate to us. And if they get out of the will of God, then we identify that as a teachable moment. And I will tell you that is my least favorite place. When someone gets out of the will of God and I'm an authority in their life, that is my least favorite place to be, because I'm not one who just really rejoices in speaking correction into people's lives. I really like the Holy Spirit to do that, if you want to know the truth. But I call those teachable moments. So here we are in 1 Peter chapter 2, and he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. So when the apostles were told not to speak in the name of Jesus, their response was, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you rather than God, you have to make that decision. But as for us, we're still going to be teaching what God has told us to teach. So they made no bones about it. Sometimes it cost them their life. But here it is talking about submit. That's the concept of submission. It is living under mission. That's what submission means to me. If I had to put a definition to submission, it would be under mission. And so there are times when I am the person in charge of the mission, and there are people who are under that mission. There are other times when there are other people who are responsible, and at that point in time, I'm there to help them to succeed. I'm there in a support role, not to set them aside. And in fact, I like to establish people and say, wow, they are doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job. But, so in this mission environment where our mission is to call people out of darkness into the light, they says, make sure that you conduct yourselves with authorities as for the Lord's sake. Okay? If we're not careful, we can embrace rebellion in our own lives while condemning rebellion in other people's lives. And that's never a good place. So he says, whether it's to the king, to governors who are empowered by him or who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. So when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, Paul wrote, against these things there is no law. There isn't a law that forbids you from being patient or long-suffering. There's not a law that prevents you from being faithful. You see, there are laws in place because there are so many other people who do not embrace life the way that God wants it to. And so there needs to be a distinction there. Now, Daniel was faithful and his co-laborers were jealous. That didn't work out well for them in the end. And so I just want to encourage you that we don't allow rebellion to secretly sneak into our lives and find a safe place there. We need to have the right attitude, and the right attitude is I'm going to conduct myself before everybody in a manner that pleases God. So you've probably heard me talk about this before, but one of the unexpected side effects of the radio program is that many times people hear my voice, but they don't know what I look like. And then I would be out in public and either people would see my name or they would hear my voice and they would recognize the voice from the radio program. And I remember the very first time that happened. And you got to realize I'm a pastor, but I'm a very real person. I have ups and downs like everybody else, and have challenges, and have families, and cars break down, and dogs in the past have gotten loose and had to go track them down, and all of that sort of stuff. And I drive in traffic the way that everybody else does, and I said, you know what? I've got to remember to represent God well every time I go out. Every time I go out. I watched Robert Morris here a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about being a witness. And he said, you know how that person sometimes does something when they're driving and you give them that look. And that look that's displeasing. And so he was in traffic one day and he gave somebody the look, and all of a sudden his phone rang, and the person on the other end said, "Pastor, you just passed me and you gave me a very displeased look. Was there something that I did wrong?" And he's like, "Oh no, you know, I've got to do better." Let's represent Jesus well. Let's make sure that we are supporting people in the mission that they have. I want to thank you for your support for WMIE. I want to thank you for supporting the fundraising projects they do every 6 months, because it keeps the radio station proclaiming the gospel. And thank you for supporting the mission of the Refresh Radio program. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."